So it got my attention. And I started reading 2 Kings 22, and that's how we got the message today. We found the book. Amen? We found the book. And God was doing a big work in our lives. So if you'll take your Bible, 2 Kings 22. Why I told you that story, I don't want to get ahead of myself, is don't be afraid to keep seeking the Lord even when you're tired. Even when you don't even know that He's there. And even though it's monotonous sometimes. Have you ever got up in the morning and it's hard to read, or I don't know when you read, or go to bed, or pray, or get a hold of God? You think, man, I'm getting interrupted on it. I don't even know if maybe I'll just do this tomorrow. Let me tell you this, that's the times to press through. That's the times to really get focused in. Because let me tell you what will happen. If you will draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. If you seek Him, you will find Him. I've been getting this little constant in my spirit over and over. I hear it. It sounds like this. So-and-so's looking for the Lord. So-and-so's seeking the Lord. I think so-and-so's seeking the Lord. And it rubs my spirit. Have you ever had anything that just kind of rubs against your spirit? That it ain't right? Well, God said to me, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. See, the problem with us trying to seek the Lord is He ain't lost. We are. He don't need finding. We do. Saved or lost, we're the ones who get out of the way. And He said, if I be lifted up, listen, He was lifted up in Genesis. Golly, I'm going to preach to y'all whether you want it or not this morning. He was lifted up in Genesis. As soon as they sinned, He said, hey, you hurt Him, but He will crush your head. He'll be wounded coming in out into the womb, but guess what? His heel will crush Satan. What He means, when He comes down off that cross, death, hell, and the grave is over. You don't stand a chance. So you know what? If you're seeking the Lord, if you feel like you're seeking the Lord, you know who that is? That's God drawing you unto Himself. Nobody comes to the Son unless they are drawn of the Father. That's God. None of us get the inkling one day we're going to wake up, I'm going to go after God. No, God says, if you'll come to me, you'll find me. And here I am. Some of y'all, I've seen you from week to week in the sermon. If you're not careful, you can get past this. But you get in the house of God, and God gets a hold of you, and you know you're supposed to do something. But every week you go out because you're considering the person to your left and the person to your right instead of the person that is above. Amen? Some of you got some spouses and girlfriends and everything else going on in here, and you're worried about what's going on with them and the Lord. You should just bow your head and say, God, rock on with them. Do whatever you're doing with them. And when you're done with them, start with me. Golly. I wish we'd be honest with ourselves. Some of you, right, every week come in, I wonder what my wife's going to do for the Lord this week. Instead, you should be saying, God, just have your way with her. Because a better wife is one that God's in control of. Some of you saying, wonder what my husband, wonder what's going on with him. When's the last time you said, God, have your way with him? Listen. Don't have my way with it. Never mind. Here's what I'd do if I was you, God. And if you don't do it quick enough, I'll let Him know. And some of you sit here every Sunday, man, God gets a hold of you, but you're so, I hate to use this word, you're just so ashamed. Because you're afraid of what God will do to you. You're afraid of if God got a hold of you, what people would think and say. And you're so scared about losing your name or your credibility or whatever it is. But I hate to tell you this, your name would be ruined anyway without God. Let's jump, man, I don't know, man, I feel the Spirit of God. I hope we can handle a service like this today. I know I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I need Jesus more. You know what's neat? You know, Kimberly sung that song. You know what part of it was in there? Was It Is Well With My Soul. That's the only song my daddy ever sung. That's the only song my daddy ever sung. You know, when he came here one Sunday when he first got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, He was sitting right there, and we sung that song, and the chorus of the song says, "It is well with my soul." And I remember my son and my family, we all got up here and prayed for my daddy. And I remember when I watched him walk out of here that morning, I sent him by his car. God said, "Go out there and hug your daddy and tell you love him." And I did. I said, "Daddy, I love you." And he goes, "I know." He said, "Everything's going to be all right. I trust God." Well, you think, well, that's crazy. But this morning when I woke up, you know what I said? First thing I said this morning, I said, "God, I wish I could call my daddy and talk to him. There's some things that I'd like to say to him because I've been going through some things." And he was the only person I could call and tell him when I was going through some things. When you got up this morning, you said, "It is well." As soon as it come out of your lips, it was like my daddy said, "It's all right with your soul. You'll be okay." So you ministered to me and you didn't even know it. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know what you get out of coming to church, but what I get out of it is healing. Healing. Whew. Scott sent me a message this morning, said, "Let loose." I don't know. I think God is instead of me. Josiah. Y'all, is that where y'all are at? Whew. Y'all pray for me as we go a little further. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adai of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or the left. 8 years old, and he became the king, and he did everything that was right. Amen? And the whole first part, the first seven verses of this chapter is Josiah making some decisions to seek the Lord. 8 years old. I'm going to preach on some of this on Wednesday. I'm going to break it down some more. But he decided, didn't have no father figure. His daddy was killed before he was 8 years old. He was turned over to be the king, and all of a sudden, his grandfather was evil, his daddy was evil, and guess what? He decided, "I'm going to seek the Lord." Amen? When he began to seek the Lord, amen, watch this right here. God, he said he went to replace the house of God. First of all, the house of God is important. He said, "Let the builders go up there and find all the money that's in the treasury, all the money that's in the house, and just give it to the builders and let them build God's house back." That's what they did. He just cut them loose. And look in verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Zaphan the scribe, he's the scribe, "I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord with Hilkiah." And he gave him the book to Zaphan and he read it. And Zaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, who was 8 years old, remember that, and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered into the hand of them that do work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Zaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has delivered a book." And Zaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard it, that the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest of Acham, the son of Zaphon, and Achbor, the son of Micah, and Zaphon the scribe, and Ashai, the servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest and Achbor and Zaphan and Azai went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Haresh, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Verse 15, and she said to them, "Thus saith the Lord of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof and all the worlds and all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. because you have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent to you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Listen to verse 19. It's one of the most powerful verses in the whole book. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants, therefore they that should become a desolation and a curse and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Verse 20, behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered in thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see the evil which thou bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, give us liberty to preach what you put on our heart. Let the heart and the mind receive it, and let us follow through with what's there to do to please you and to turn your mercy and grace towards us and your wrath away from us. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray this morning you would hear this. I was thinking to myself, what would turn God's wrath away from a wicked individual or a wicked nation? Amen? We need to know that because we live in a wicked nation. We are a wicked people as far as the United States of America goes. I'm not talking about you individually, but if it applies, wear it. But we as a nation right now, we wonder why our world is falling apart. Our country is falling apart. We have turned from God. We have literally turned from God. And you say, well, we haven't. But let me say this. We are few and far between. There are more people at every Walmart right now than there are in the house of God. There are more people doing stuff right now outside of worshiping God than anything else. We are a minority. We are a remnant. We are a small group. Amen? That doesn't diminish who we are. It doesn't diminish our power with God. But let me be honest with you. We as the church have become numb to sin. So I'm preaching this to you from a standpoint, and this is the bare bones of this message. We'll get deeper into it on Wednesday, but God give me some points. How do we turn God's mercy and grace towards us and His wrath away? I think we can learn from an 8-year-old king named Josiah. Amen? What we got to do, what we need to do as a nation, what would it take for a person to, or a nation for the mercy and grace of God? We got to find the book. We've got to find the book. I'm being honest with you. This Bible right here has all the answers to life. And you know where it's hidden most of the time? In the house of God or in your house. In the house of God or your house. I'm always amazed at how many believers have never read the Bible. Never read the whole New Testament. Never read the whole Old Testament. And then some of y'all are sitting here right now, well, brother, you just don't know. I'm not getting on to you. I'm just telling you, you've got a book that tells you who God is, how God operates, and how you should operate, and you forsake it. We forsake it. We bring it to the house of God, but we only open it in the house of God. Some of you leave it in the house of God. You lay it in your seat because you're coming back to it when you should take it home with you and get into it where it'll get into you. Some of you have it at your house, but you read everything. You read Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, but you don't read the Word of God. You read the newspaper or you watch TV, and I'm right there with you. I watch enough TV to be wrong, amen? But I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you need to tune out, cut off, put your phone down, and get in the book. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm new age, so I'll say this right here too with you. If you can get your Bible on an app, read it there too. But you might want to turn off your notifications. I'll be spiritual with you. I'll sit right there. I'll usually have my coffee, my Bible, my tablet, and guess what? I'll get in the Word of God, but I'll see a little beep. Huh? A little text message, a little message, a little, hey, so-and-so like this. And the next thing you know, I've spent 30 minutes scrolling and my Bible sitting there going, if you just read another chapter, you'd have opened up a gold mine to God. So I'm being honest with you. And if you're mad at me right now, prove me wrong, just go home and start reading your Bible. Amen? Start reading your Bible. Come in here next week and say, I read the whole New Testament all the way through. Amen? Because I'm going to be honest with you. You ever get this book in you? If you ever really, and I'm being honest, you got to be saved to get it. But if you ever get saved and you ever start reading your Bible, things will start to connect and you won't be walking around mindless. You won't be walking around going, wonder what's going on. You'll walk around going, God's in control. I see God more in this chaos than I see the chaos. Amen? If you don't know this, I can tell you this. God walks through the storms of life more than He does the tranquility of life. Because in the tranquility, we don't need Him. In a storm, we start looking for Him. Some of y'all pray now more than you ever pray in your life. You know why? Because it's trouble. But I'm going to tell you, if you open your book, a lot of your fear and your anxiety will disappear. Amen? It only takes me about 5 minutes to read what the world's got going on. I can listen to the news for 5 minutes and be mad. I'm serious. I'm saying, what kind of idiots are we living with? What in the world? You know, this is what I need to do. This is what I'm going to do. Then I get in the book and it says, God, this is what God's going to do. And here's what you need to be doing. How about seeking me in prayer? Whew. How about getting on your face before me? How about humbling yourself? How about before you take up a firearm, why don't you get on your face before me and pray about what you should do next? You might be praying for the person instead of trying to kill the person. I know it's unpopular, but I'll preach it this way. Guess what? How many of you would have wanted to kill Saul early in the New Testament? I would have. Hey man, I'd have killed Saul. He's killed your mother, your father. He's out gathering up the church. He's bringing them up to Jerusalem. Praise God, when they told the man to go down there to pray for him, he was like, Lord, do you know who the man is? While he can't see, can I jump him? Amen? That's what I would have said. Amen? Since he ain't seeing God, that's a spiritual thing. I'll choke him out. No, he said, go down there and lay hands on him, pray for him. I've got a position to fill, and he's the one I'm going to fill it with. And it's funny because then we read and we preach 14 epistles of the New Testament of a man who would have killed the church. But we sit there and, man, I wish I had a backbone like Saul. I wish I could preach it like Paul. I wish I could stand in there and do it like Paul did. Well, praise God, if you'd have met him just a couple of days before he met Jesus, he'd kill you. That's what your Bible's about. Amen? You got to hear from the book. Oh, Lord, help us. Some of y'all just hear what you hear on Sunday morning. The biggest problem most people got is somebody says the preacher said. Y'all are secondhand fed. And if you ain't careful, you'll have so many different preachers telling you so many different things. The next thing you know, you're just in a proselyte of somebody who don't even know what they know. I just said a bunch of stuff. I hope you got it. Because right now, if I turn on the TV or the internet to listen to a lot of preachers, I tell you what they are. They're prosperity messages or me-centric messages. It's all about me. You know what? It ain't all about us. It's all about Him. When you get saved, all God wants to do with your life is use it for His glory. Some of y'all, we did this a couple years back. Some of y'all need to remember that you are just a blank check for God and He can spend you any way He wants to. And if you're His, by the grace of God, through that, when you're getting spent, you'll lift your little old hand up and you'll say, thank God He's spending me. I could take you to a whole book of martyrs and show you when the church, the church at Smyrna, amen, and the Philadelphia church age, they brought them into the arena and they were going to kill them and destroy them. And they lined them out, Nero lined them all up under the Colosseum, and they were fighting with each other. The Christians were in the bottom of the Colosseum. And he asked, he said, why are they fighting? Are they trying to escape? He said, no, the Christians in the back of the line are trying to fight to get to the front of the line where they can go out and die before everybody else does. And they said what would happen is, as soon as they had opened the gates, the Christians would run to the edges of the Colosseum and start proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified while they were being burnt, stabbed, shot with arrows, and eaten by lions. That's our church. That's us. Now we get upset if somebody says something wrong at the church about us. Sister so-and-so doesn't like me, and brother so-and-so didn't like me, and I'm so mad at them, and they hurt me, and they did, and we can't even forgive each other. How in the world are we going to forgive the world? I mean, we don't even love each other in the house of God. You know what would start revival at Flat Top Church? If some people would go and take other people by the hand and say, I simply forgive you. Can we go to the altar and pray about this and get it over with? I mean, if you want to drag me up in that altar and beat me half to death, that's fine with me. I just want this to be over. Amen? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, that'd go a long way with a lot of people. I'm just sorry. I don't know everything. I'm sorry my feelings got hurt. I'm sorry. You know, we won't hardly ever do that because golly bum, if we show one ounce of I'm wrong. That's what's wrong with our country today. Nobody can listen to anybody else. The hearing of the book. He read it, but then he said, can you read it to me? I just want to hear it out loud. There's been times I've read the book out loud, and you know what? I found myself on my face before I ever knew what was happening, because you know what? The power of the Word of God. Some of you in your homes need to read the book out loud. Stop telling them what you think about God, and just, I dare you, I double dog dare some of y'all to go in your house, open John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 and John chapter 16 and just read it out loud. If it don't mess you up, it'll mess somebody up. Maybe the devil would leave. Whew. Amen? Go ahead, try it. John chapter 15, I dare you. Just read it out loud in your house. About halfway through it, you'll find yourself worshiping God because there's some good stuff in there. Amen? Whew. It takes humbling yourself. Good Lord. The first thing the king did, Josiah, 8 years old, somewhere in that ballpark, sat there. He started reading the word to him. You know what he did? He started ripping his garment. He's the king. When that was an offense to do that. That was not right to do. He, you know what he said? He said, oh my God. Body, mind, and spirit needs to be humbled. We need to humble ourselves. When we hear a word and you see yourself in it, you don't need to say, okay, God, I got it. That's good. No, you need to humble yourself and get before Him and say, all right, I'm a wicked person or this is a wicked nation. God, we need to humble ourselves. Man, if the king can crawl off his throne and get in the floor and weep and tear his clothes and say, God, here am I. Some of us need to do it. We live in a weird time. Do y'all know who George Washington is? He's the guy on the $1 bill. Amen? I ain't going to say that. He's on the $1 bill. He's the first president of the United States of America. They said they can identify him in any room there was when there was prayer made. Do you know why? Because if he was sitting down when a prayer was made or if he was standing up in a group of people and somebody was going to make prayer unto the Lord, he would get on his hands and knees and pray. That same man, if y'all don't know this, there was a couple of times when he was in war and you know what the people that were fighting would say? Our arrows won't hit him and our bullets can't find him. That makes some people getting off. Do you ever feel like you're being shot, stabbed, killed by everybody? Maybe if you would get on your face before God and seek Him and humble yourself, maybe the arrows won't hit you and the bullets won't find you. Wouldn't that be amazing? We're so worried right now in 2020. What could happen to us if we go to town, if we get here, if we get lost there? What about COVID? What about that? What if we get so immersed in the Spirit of God that nothing can get on you unless He wants it on you? I've spent a lot of time in the last few weeks going, Lord, I can't believe the devil done this to me. And He goes, are you sure it was the devil? So we've been talking about it. Amen? Can I tell you something about that real quick before I move on? Nothing can happen to you as a Christian that God does not let happen. So it changed my prayer request. Changed my plea. God, whatever you're doing, I'm all right with it. Make me a better me. Whatever it takes. Amen? Whatever that takes. And when you say that right there, that's kind of scary. Because God might think a better you is probably sitting up there beside Him out of the game instead of in it. I don't like being on the bench in any kind of game. But praise God, if I'm going to go on the bench, that'd be the one I'd want to be on. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. It takes a word from God. Get a hold of somebody that knows God. Hey, man, I'm glad this video thing's running. Some of you need to get under a preached word. He read the book. He heard the book. But then he was like, you know what? We might need to get somebody that's hooked up with God kind of tell us what's going on. Amen? Some of you need to make a point of it. I'm going to church. I'm going to go to church. And I know COVID. Tune into the message. Listen on the recording or come in here and space out and listen as much as you can. Amen? But praise God, you need to sit under the Word of God. You need to sit under the Word of God. You need to hear it preached. There's a whole different spirit about preaching. Amen? You can sit at your house. I've met people my whole life. Well, we can have church just here at the house. Me and my wife, my kids. Yeah, you can, but you're going to have the weirdest doctrine there ever was. Amen? You're going to have some weird stuff going on. Amen? I'm being honest with you. And I ain't saying every church is right, and I ain't saying every church is good. That's why God gives you the spirit of discernment. When you get in the house of God, if it meets the spiritual need, it feeds you, and you can be a part of feeding other people and being a part of it. Join up, get in, hold on, and ride till God comes back. Amen? Occupy until the Lord comes back. And if this church don't suit you, find one that does. I hear people all the time, I just don't like that church over there, but they ain't been nowhere else in 2 years. Amen? Go find you another one. If you can't find a church in Soddy Daisy, you're blind, deaf, and you can't hit nothing with a rock. I'm being honest with you. You could turn which way or the other and find a church. If something's went out of business, somebody's opened it up as a church business. Amen? Amen, preacher. It takes a word from God, and it takes His mercy and grace. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know why we stopped doing this. I don't know. It must have been about 20 years ago. We don't do this in the church anymore. But there used to be a thing called praying through. See, King Josiah was trying to do the right by God. He was doing a lot of right things. But when he seen himself in the Word of God, and when he seen Israel in the Word of God, when we see ourselves in the Word of God, when we see this nation in the Word of God, you know what he did? He begged. We need to figure out what God's doing. Amen? You know what he did? He got into a place where he said, God, here I am. I need your mercy and your grace. Two things that we don't deserve. And the two things God's rich in, mercy and grace. Hallelujah. I'm glad he ain't just rich in judgment, but he's rich in mercy and grace. Some of the prayers that I make, I say, God, listen, I don't deserve no mercy, and I definitely don't deserve your grace, but if you could help me out, Lord, I would love to have it. Amen? I know I've messed up. I know I said the wrong thing. I know I've done the wrong thing. Oh, Lord, please, just send mercy to me. That's what King Josiah, he said, hey, I seen your heart when you humbled your heart. You had a tender heart towards me. Some of y'all just need to get a tender heart again and seek the Lord. And guess what? The Lord will send His mercy and His grace. Boy, I love that. Let's go back and read it. Listen what God's answer is when you humble yourself. Go back to... Because 19, look at watch this right here. Because thine heart was tender. Is your heart tender? Some of y'all let your heart. Remember when before you got saved, it was like a rock. So I don't know what's happened to you, but some of y'all have gotten a little harder and a little harder and a little harder towards God. Not all of you, but some of you. What I mean by that is you won't let God do what used to. You'd cry at the drop of a hat. You'd witness at the drop of a hat. Come to the altar at the drop of a hat. Sing at the drop of a hat. Worship. I mean, you didn't care. But over time, you just got a little bit less, a little bit less. A little bit less. And guess what? Your heart's got, it ain't tender towards God anymore. Amen? Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Man, that's, hey, listen, I don't know what God's going to do, but I like it when he hears me. Amen? I don't know how it's, but listen, I like this. It reminds me of y'all remember the Syrophoenician woman? God, she had a demon-possessed child. She had a demon-possessed child at home. And she had gotten down to her last straw with her child at home. Anybody ever got down to the last straw with a child at home? She made it. She was a Gentile. And she found Jesus passing by, and he was passing by with all the spiritual ones. Amen? All of his disciples and his apostles and his regulars. Sorry. Yeah, I'm almost done. Y'all just stay with me. And they went by and she made a plea. She said, oh, Lord, will you help me? My daughter is possessed with the devil and I just need you to help me get the devil out of her. Amen? I love his spiritual ones. They looked at him and said, hey, Jesus is busy. We don't have time for people like you. We're trying to work on our own. That sounds like the church today. We ain't got time for the rest of the world. We're working on us. Jesus listened to her plea. She said, oh, Jesus, have mercy. Have grace on me. Jesus then stops and starts talking to his disciples. He says, we don't cast the bread that's supposed to go to the children to the dogs. Listen, I don't care if Jesus calls me a dog. Amen? It's very offensive in that culture. Amen? If you call somebody a dog in that culture, it's very offensive. But guess what? She didn't get offended. She just realized one thing. He's talking about me. I got God talking about me. Some of y'all just want to get tweeted by somebody else. Praise God. I just want God to be talking about me. God's talking about me. He don't sound like he's going to do something awesome for me, but I'm on his mind. I'm on his heart. If I'm on his mind and I'm on his heart, then we're not too far away from getting a result. Hey, God, I love her response, don't you? She's like a pit bull and a pork chop, man. She's fierce. She screams back out, I heard you. Cool. Don, I like it. Hey, I heard you. You mentioned me. Yeah, you called me a dog, but that's all right. I heard you talking about me. I know you're talking about me because you're calling them kids and you're calling me a dog. But then she gets creative. She said, you know what? I know you're feeding the kids the bread, but my God, every once in a while, the kids will drop some bread. Every once in a while, some kids will slip some bread under the table. If you finish all your bread, you can have a dessert. Okay, Mama. Right? There goes half a loaf. Amen? She said, even the dogs get the scraps. Even dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table of the master. God, I don't want the whole loaf. Would you just throw me a crumb? You know you're serious about God. When you ain't asking him to change the whole world, you just want him to get intervened. You just want to get him involved. You just want a crumb of who he is. You're just trying to touch the hem of his garment. You ain't trying to touch the top of it. You ain't trying to get in his face. You're just trying to touch who he is. Oh, God, if you'll just give me a crumb, because I know a crumb for you is better than a whole loaf that the world has. Then he changed his tune. He stopped talking to them and he started talking to her. When you get home, things are going to be all right because the devil's gone. Could you imagine what that was like coming home to somebody that don't have the devil in them anymore? Some of y'all need to get back to crumb praying. Amen? Some of y'all, you'll bombard heaven over something major, but you won't go on something minor. Amen? You'll tell him all this other stuff, but you won't go to him and say, hey, God, I got a devil at the house. And I wouldn't mind you running him out. Last thing, here you go. What else it will take? It'll take a lifetime of action from you. The whole 23rd chapter is, you know what Josiah did? Josiah said, we're dismantling everything that doesn't belong to God. Whew, I know this is radical. It is crazy. But you know what he said? While I'm alive, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do my very best for God. He cleaned out the temple. He cleaned out the house of God. He cleaned out his house. He cleaned out everybody else's house. He went high and low, and he burnt it all or destroyed it all in the name of God. And he said, all I want left is just God, just Jesus. Some of y'all need to, hey, you get humble, you make the prayer, you hear the word, you found the book. Some of y'all need to follow it up with some action. You come in here and it's great. I'm glad you're here. But praise God, if you act one way at church and one way out there, it ain't no different. Amen? What you need to do is come in here, get what you need, and walk out there and clean house. clean house. And I don't mean make your house clean. I mean get the devil out of it. Get everything you worship other than God out of your life. Whatever you put on the idol before God, get it out. And you'll see God do some amazing stuff in your life and in this nation's life. You say, I'm just one person. How could God change many people? One person on fire and sold out to God can change a multitude of people. Let's all stand. Now listen, God placed this on my heart a week ago. I was supposed to play this song a week ago. And the devil's really got on to me about it. And was told me just to mind my business and don't worry about it.